The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, heroes. Those who have followed us through the veil, through the void, and have come out on the other end as champions, you have completed the Maximum Fun Drive for 2011, and we reached our goal with the help of you and you and you and you and you.
But not that guy in the back.
Not you.
Fuck that guy.
God damn it, Tave. Just once pitch in.
Did you say Tave?
Tave. My friend Tave.
Is that short for Taven?
It's short for Tavian, actually. Tavian. It's like a...
I can't be mad at that guy. Poor guy with that poor name.
And listen, the English... the teacher at the community college isn't paying the bills like it used to.
No.
And Tavian just likes to listen to the show. Who can blame him? This is my brother meets an advice show for the modern era. He's listening to us, so he knows how to improve his own situation, so he'll be fiscally in a position to help out next year when we call upon his aid. But let's not dwell on that. Let's dwell on right now when I am Justin McElroy.
And I am Travis McElroy.
And right now, I am Griffin McElroy.
For the foreseeable future, this is my brother and me. So let's get right to the wisdom. So if I, a dude, goes into the bathroom and all the urinals are taken, socially acceptable in working order or otherwise, what am I supposed to do? Wait around for a urinal to become available? Go outside again and try later? Take a stall? If I take a stall, should I close and or lock the doors? Much obliged. Potly harm.
Why wouldn't you close the door?
I don't know. It's like you're sort of claiming that as your own, as your property. You're staking your claim, and maybe
so
you feel like
you
don't
take
have a right
a
to
wide
it.
Dominant stance.
You're saying, "Hey, this is mine now."
I mean, there's if you'll forgive the pun, there's squatter's rights that you have in a bathroom stall. If you post up in a bathroom stall, that's basically your apartment for the duration of your onesie or deucey. Like,
I think the moment though that you're afraid of, if you're peeing in a bathroom stall and then you walk out, and in the time that you were in the stall, all the urinals cleared out, you look like a douche when someone's waiting to poop.
And yeah. Also, everyone just thinks you're trying to hide your tiny dick.
Yeah. Why? What's your shame? What's wrong with you?
As you walk into the stall, announce, listen, this isn't because I have a tiny dick.
This isn't a shame.
All the urinals are taken.
And my dick's not even big. Like, it's average. Listen, I have an average dick, but I need to...
Need to pee. Why don't you just wait it out? Like, what's the rush? I think if somebody wants to shoot one, they will wait. They'll go around you. It's not a big deal.
I used to be afraid of using the urinal. Not because I have a tiny dick, but just because I just don't want anybody to see my dick. And, like, that seems like a... If there's any given point during my day that I were to highlight as most likely to get my dick seen, I would say that using the urinal is like, number one, maybe number two on that list.
Well, and also, you run the risk of splash damage.
Splash damage is bad, and also, I might see other dude's dicks, and that, psychologically, that's even worse for me. So, I used to use the stall, and I've gotten over that fear, but I'm sure there are other people who still suffer from it. And to those people, I'm saying that you're completely within reason.
Use the stall, or just wait and use the bathroom at home like a normal person.
Like a human being.
Yeah, let's slap a motto on this bitch. Let's make it marketable.
Okay. Ready? Yeah.
Go your own way.
Ooh.
I like gotta it. Get some rights.
What about this? What about this? Shit, if there's no stall, you need to stall.
Okay.
Does that have some possibilities, you think? For
that
a
definitely
maybe?
Has some possibilities. I think no matter what, it's an intimate moment, what you do in a bathroom. I can't think of an unintimate thing that one would normally do in a bathroom. And it's uncomfortable sharing that moment with other people. So just, you know, it sucks. You got to get through it. But stalls, I think, are the best place to do it.
Guys, I was laying in bed with my girlfriend. Sorry, Griffin. And I asked her the age, if you could have sex with anyone, who would it be? If you could have sex with anyone. Who would
there is an age that you could have sex with.
What is the age of anyone you could have sex with? 18, by the way. Young enough to be legal, still in the prime, obvious. Her answer was XBF, or 50, because what's up? Her answer was her XBF, because it was so good and passionate. I got cranky, rolled over, and went to sleep. She is now angry at me, saying it doesn't mean anything, and it was no big deal. Help? Terry. Mm. Terry.
Is Terry asking how to get over this girl that he just broke up with because she said that thing?
This girl that he definitely just dumped?
See, the answer to that question is supposed to be like Shakira or Natalie Portman. It's not supposed to be your friend.
Not like
Jeff.
Your fucking brother. Like, no. You're not allowed to do that.
And note to guys, if your lady asks you this question, the answer is her. The answer is always her. It's
Can I get you with red hair? Is that?
Can I get you minus, let's call it 8 pounds? Like, I think right there would get you in the sweet spot for me.
You on a good day.
She done fucked up, Terry. And might I say, Terry, as one man speaking to another, I what a moment this is for you, because it's rare that girls fuck up this clearly. This obviously, guys, all the time. Like, if we get this question from a girl, I think it probably wouldn't be worth reading.
Her answer was a 1-2 punch of fuck you, because it was so good. Like, number one, it was so good. Like, fuck,
so
like,
good.
I can't fuck like that. Like,
I can't fuck like Jerry.
I can't fuck like Jerry. Like, I'm pretty good, but I'm not Jerry good. Not only was it fucking good, it was passionate. Those are the two key elements to good fucking, because it's got to, like, there's got to be technical ability behind it. There's also going to be a little something, a little spice.
Like interpretive dance. You got to know the craft, but the heart's got to be there, too.
He was good at loving me. Jerry was.
Back in the long, long ago.
Terry, I don't know what to tell you, man. You done been wronged. You've been wronged. You need to be angry at her for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, why the fuck is she angry at you?
Why are you even thinking about this?
Terry.
Not Jerry.
Reboot.
For the rest of your relationship, which I imagine will be about 2 weeks, whenever you guys get into a fight, just yell at her about her mind-fucking her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, and you're with Jerry right now, aren't you? In your heart, you're with Jerry still. Not Terry, me, Terry. Not me, but Jerry. I know it's confusing, but you're with Jerry in your heart. Recently, I was
on Yahoo instead of the thing you're doing?
Yeah, that's why I started reading it.
This one was sent in by Nick Jensen. Thank you, Nick Jensen.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, it's by Yahoo Answers user Dean Windass. All right. Who asks, girls, what would you do if you accidentally sat on your ex? If it was your worst ex and you went to sit down on a chair and it was your ex's face that had been transformed into the seat of the chair by some magic experiment gone wrong.
What?
Yes.
When you sat down, his nose went up your bum like this, and then...
Like what?
And then Dean Windass has included two parentheses marks that are facing inward to each other, which I guess is supposed to be a butt crack. My butt crack doesn't, I don't know, it's not beveled? Is that the right word? Towards the ends?
Although my butt crack is where I keep asides.
Yeah.
So there were like parentheses in that sense.
What would you say when you realized it was him? This is a survey.
Cool.
Hey, did you guys recognize this as a survey?
How's this?
I hear... 2010 census. I must have missed this one.
What would you do if your face was like this? Is first off, I don't know where the first off is. Your boyfriend's face was transformed. Was the rest of him transformed into a chair too? I mean, is that what we have to? Right. This is a person chair.
I'm thinking about that old lady from Doctor Who gets her face stretched out. Like, I think just that, and let's just throw that on a love seat.
This chair looks like Jerry. Terry, did you turn Jerry into a chair and trick me into sitting on it?
I like that he had to add the extra, like, extra component of, it's your worst ex, as though if it were anyone else, anyone? That would be completely fine.
Hey, honey, hey, sweetheart, if you could sit on anyone's face who was turned into a chair by some magic experiment gone wrong, who
and also, their nose would go up your butt. Bum
like this. This.
And you mine make is, parentheses with your hands.
Mine is George Lopez.
I like his comedy, but he also seems like a really good dad.
Yeah, and his skin is taut and leathery, and I like a chair with some firm support.
George Lopez, your face is very comfortable to sit on. I'm not a fan of your work, but I am enjoying sitting on your face. It's like massage beads that taxi drivers use.
If I had a chair that the seat of which was composed of George Lopez's face, could I call it Beverly Hills Chair Wawa?
I think so. I think that that would be more than acceptable.
Can I make a movie called Beverly Hills Chair Wawa that's just a bunch of chairs instead Chihuahua. Of dogs?
Yeah.
We might I can do both of those things, but will I? Probably not. I'm a busy guy.
French Stewart getting transformed into a chair would actually be a bump for him.
Yeah.
That would mm-hmm. be a big up.
To go from whatever he's doing
whatever
now.
The like, fucking is he's doing to be
pretending to be a chair.
Yeah.
So I guess that answers that. What a fucking weird.
Yeah.
How about this? How about this Yahoo answer? What do I do when I read a question from someone who's obviously insane? Like, obviously mentally unstable, that this is what they're pondering.
Diamond Mayweather responded and said, I'd jump up, apologize, then move to another seat. Well, of course.
Being more careful this time to check to make sure it's not a person.
And then send them Jerry. A polite sympathy note.
Jerry. Cherry, I'm so sorry.
Cherry.
Please forgive me. I'm going to move over to that seat. It's got George Lopez's face on it. Which I believe my tuchus will prefer.
9 out of 10 tuchuses prefer George Lopez's face to Terry or Jerry. See, Jerry, that's an area that Terry can compete with Jerry in. Face comfort.
I have a friend named Badkins. I think he's probably listening to this right now. And he has this great pickup line where whenever like he's at a bar or a party or something like that, he doesn't do this all the time. I don't want to make him sound like a grosso. But if a girl comes over and is like, hey, can I have a seat? And he says, sure. And he takes his glasses off and wipes his face down as if to say, here you go. This is where it goes.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty
probably
good
never
move.
Panned out. But still just rife with comedy.
Yeah. Never worked. Someday.
Someday.
Keep the faith. Recently, I was volunteering at an event. I hit it off with a girl I was working with. I decided to ask her out to coffee, but put off to the last minute. By the time I was going to ask her, she was with a friend, and it felt weird asking her around her friend, and even weirder calling her away from her friend. I didn't end up asking her out. My question is, were those even borderline reasonable, or just poor excuses and bad habits? Thanks, Mitch.
I believe that's thanks, comma, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
I think that those... they seem like good excuses at the time, but I think that it would be just absolutely, like, ballin' if you just walked up and said, listen, sorry to interrupt, and just asked her right in front of a friend. I think it would show, like, huge confidence and, like, I think it would be a great start.
If you got the guts to do it, she's going to look awesome in front of her friend.
Yeah.
What person doesn't want that?
I disagree.
Uh-oh.
That's rude. What are you going to do? Roll up there and be like, clam up! It's me time.
Maybe not that. But you know, just walk over and you know, say I'm about to take off. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to see if maybe you wanted to grab coffee sometime.
Who wants to be pursued demurely though? Who doesn't want that passion, that fire there?
To maybe just like run up and yell, clam up and push her.
Listen, I've been trying to wait. I can't risk you know, losing this opportunity. I love you, and I want to get married to you.
Ooh.
Ooh. And then if she says no, turn to her friend and say, how about you?
How about you?
Yeah. Maybe hey. Just the old eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
I'm just laying them out on the table. As long as they're out here, would you like to pick them up? I mean, as long as I'm laying them out for you.
Trying to catch a sweet baby by the toe over here.
Eeny, meeny, miny, who gives a rat's ass? Let's both do it. Let's go, ladies. You and me, arm in arm.
Sex party, my place. Show you my eeny, meeny.
You want to hook up to, you want to hit up to CJ Maggie's? Let's hit the O'Charlie's. Get some onion frings. Just get down.
Sorry. But at the end of the day, don't ever call someone away from their friend to ask them out because you look like an absolute creeper. Excuse me, just come. Just step over here real quick. I have something private to ask you.
I'm not sure you look like a creeper, though. I don't think that's fair.
I think it's creeper. I think that it just makes you seem like asking them out as something you're incredibly embarrassed about and something that like you wouldn't ever want anyone to know you were doing. I think it's creepy.
Hey, I have hemorrhoids, and also I like you.
I like you very much. Don't tell Deborah.
Don't tell Deborah over there.
Don't tell Deborah, but we're in love.
She's got judgy eyes.
I hang out with 6 to 7 people every Saturday night. It's a busy night. We all go over to someone's house and then have dinner and play games and whatnot. Two of these people are vegetarians. When I go over to their houses, I don't mind eating their vegetarian nonsense, but when they're coming over to my house, should I have to go out of my way to make some sort of vegetarian dish? Or should I tell them to fend for themselves as they would have done in the olden timey days? Ryan.
It sounds like he should revise the beginning of his question and say, I hang out with
4 to 5
four to five every friends night. Every Saturday night and 1 to 2 vegetarian acquaintances.
Occasionally, after dinner, they join with us.
What I love about this is that the idea of some sort of vegetarian dish. Do you know what's a vegetarian dish? Vegetables. Like a salad. That's vegetarian right there.
What? First of all, that's wildly wrong. Everything you just said. There's so much other food that vegetarians
eat. You're disqualifying yourself from this whole discussion. Salads?
Not everybody. But Travis operates
in the universe. Yeah, bitch, but like bread too, stupid. Like, what are you talking about?
Travis puts like chorizo sausage on like 2 out of 3 meals of the day. Like, your opinion when it comes to vegetarian matters just don't count.
True.
What I'm curious about is how telling them to fend for themselves in your apartment. Like, like, hey, there's some compost out back. Like, go nuts. Go wacky back there. Maybe grow some bok choy. You're going to love it. You're going to love the fertile soils back there.
I think that if you're picking a dinner that you're going to make for people, I think that you shouldn't go out of your way to make something for them, but I think you should go out of your way to make something, not go out of your way, but try to choose a dish that would be easily convertible. You know what I mean? Don't serve meat noodles, for example, would be right out.
That's a thing?
Yeah, sure.
Honestly, like, yeah, build your own, like, do a pasta thing where you add whatever you want to it. And that way people could do, like, you know, meatballs, or they can just do the sauce or whatever they want. And that way it's everybody's lifestyle.
Yeah, do you think that Travis calls sausage meat noodles? That's basically what they are in a mind like his. A beautiful mind.
Beautiful mind. Like Russell Crowe. And Russell Brand's
movie.
What?
He did a movie. It's called Beautiful Mind.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, somebody did. So I would serve something that's like convertible, that's easy to take the meat out, something easy to remove the meat from. Ask not like with a syringe or whatever. Don't like chicken cordon bleu, and just give him a pile of breadcrumbs and some cheese, like.
You guys eat croutons, right? Here's a bowl of croutons. You guys like croutons?
It's what you people eat, right? Travis told me you guys just eat vegetables. That's it. But yeah, I would. That's the way I would go. Hey Griffin.
Hey, what?
You ready to take a trip with me?
I've still got the stink of the sky on me because my plane just landed.
Your sky stink.
I've got a bit of sky stink still left on me, but yeah, sure. Let's go on a trip. Where to?
The Money Zone. So we're there?
We're here. Oh, this is nice.
This is nice. I'm comfortable.
Crisp bills.
The chairs are much more expensive here. Is this, I believe it is, George Lopez's face? So what we want to talk to you guys about is something that is close to mine and Griffin's hearts, and Travis, I suppose. That's video games. It's so rare we get to talk about video games here, my brother and me. And today we're talking about one called Kingdom of Loathing, or KOL, if you're down.
Or cool if you pronounce your O's weird.
If you pronounce your O's wrong, then it's cool. Now, this is made by our friends at Asymmetric Publications, including the creator Zach Jick Johnson and the writer Josh Mr. Skullhead Knight. Josh Knight, I don't think you needed a nickname, but I think it's all right that you chose.
No. Yourself. That's his Christian. That's his proper name.
His mom and dad named him Josh Mr. Skullhead Knight.
Josh Mr. Skullhead, all hyphenated name.
That was his baptismal name. Like, that's the name he was given upon confirmation.
Sure. He was named after Pope Mr. Skullhead.
Uh-huh. Now, Griffin, I don't think this is a hand-drawn stick figure graphics.
Right.
And it has some surreal humor, some wordplay.
Don't let the stick figure thing turn you off, because these are some high-quality stick figures.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you could tell the definition's there. Even though they may be stick figures, you feel the emotion, you feel the passion.
How many pixels does it support?
Easily a billion.
How many megs of RAM, Carmine?
There's probably a lot. They have tons of players.
I was turned on to this game and played it for a while in college way back when. It's been around for like eight years.
And it's still going strong. Now, Griffin, I like online multiplayer RPGs, but I don't have a lot of cash. Is that going to be a problem?
It is going to be a problem with other parts of your life because you need cash. We exchange cash for goods and services in this capitalist society that we all live in. But to play cool, or if you want Kingdom of Loathing, you don't need a goddamn motherfucking penny, bitch.
It's a free to play. A free as shit, I think, should be the new.
Free as shit.
It is free as fuck, like, so free. It's been in development for 8 years, with literally, we're told, tens of thousands of dumb jokes. We have not counted them ourselves, but that is what we are led to believe.
I have played it before. It's funny, and it's not funny in that way of, like, it's not, like, internet meme funny. It's, like, it's just funny. Like, it's a funny game. And you know what? Not only is it free, you play it in your web browser. Like, they could not have made this game easier to access unless they came to your house and put it in some sort of syringe and, jammed it in your eyes.
Johnny Mnemonic. It's got a cool community, and you filled with a lot of neat people, and you can join them right now. You can just push some buttons on your keyboard. You will be whisked away to said kingdom.
Tell us the exact sequence of buttons, please.
KINGDOMOFLOATHING .COM enter key, or kingdomofloathing.com would also work if you're not into putting letters together. But go check them out.
Yeah,
totally.
And as a special treat for anybody who decides to do a promotion on our show, which if you want to do one, email Teresa@maximumfun.org. And she'll give you the hot deets. You get a jingle.
All the best jingles have an intro, right?
Which all the best jingles have a smooth segue, which this is one of. Let's see. I didn't pre-pro this one.
This is not going good, I don't think, Griffin.
I need adventure and sticks. I don't have money to acquire the adventure and sticks I talked about. I'll go to cool.com. I can't go to cool.com because that is something else. I'll go to kingdomofloathing.com.
kingdomofloathing.com. Check it totally out. where were we? Yes. One of my closest friends is full of hatred. She's a really great person, and I just love her guts. But it's hard to constantly be around such negativity. Stay posy, our friend Justin Russo always says. But anyway, don't get me wrong. Every now and then, it's nice to have someone to vent with. But believe me when I say nobody wants that all the time. I don't know if she gets off on bitching about people or what. But lately, I've taken to saying, can we just not talk about this right now? And it's like she doesn't even hear me. She completely ignores it. I've explained it to her before. She just doesn't seem to realize that it's exhausting to be around someone so angry all the time. Like I said, she's a valued friend. And I just wish this one thing was different. Suggestions. How to with hate? Wait, no, no, no. Let me try again. Suggestions? How to with hate?
This is rough, man. Like, I can think of one or two friends off the top of my head that I just stopped hanging out with because they just brought me down all the time because it's all they talked about was negative shit. Like, that's not just one thing that's wrong with them. Like, if you are a categorically negative person, that affects every single aspect of your life, and it makes you not pleasant to be around generally.
Yeah. A lot of the times, I think the only way to go is, like, intervention kind of thing, because I don't think there's anything... It doesn't sound like there's anything you're doing that makes her hate everyone, so it's not, like, a behavior you have to change. But maybe going to her and being like...
I don't want to sound like a downer, but I don't know how you intervene with that. Like, how do you tell somebody, like, hey... Completely change your whole worldview, please.
You know how you got this worldview? Can you just flip that? Just put that to R for me.
Can you bust that worldview out and flip it and then reverse it?
Well, I think it's a matter of saying to her, like, hey, listen, you might not see it because you're so close to it, but you complain all the time. You might want to take a look at, like, your mental process and figure out why you're so unhappy. And once you do, get back to me.
Like, it's hard to be with you right now. It's hard to be around you right now. Because you are such a negative person. And I think you probably owe them that. I think you owe it to them to say, listen, I just can't take the negativity all the time. Because that'll get up in you.
Yeah.
That will infect you. It'll infect your day-to-day. It'll build a home inside you. Absolutely.
That's especially like that Giant song, make a little birdhouse in your soul, except it's not a birdhouse. It's like a shit house. It's like an outhouse. She's pooping in your heart is what I'm saying. And you'll get septic if you let her keep doing it.
Right. Especially if, like, everybody else sees that too, and all of a sudden now you're also getting associated with the negativity because you're with her all the time. Mm-hmm. So there's a certain amount of, like, it just seems like a really, like, negative influence in your life on a lot of levels.
In fact, you know what? It's so negative. I say let's go on the next question because it's bringing me down.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting my heart shit in now.
Yeah. Why are you shitting in Ditto's heart? Come on.
Don't shit in his heart.
Look what your friend is doing now. You need better reason? To cut ties? Shit in Griffin's heart.
That heart's already full of blood and egg yolk.
Griffin, you got a Yahoo for me?
I got like four.
Hit me.
How about this? This one was sent in by Metal Gear Jim, which wasn't his Twitter name. That was his actual name on the email, so maybe? It's by Yahoo Answers user John, who asks, could I take Tyra Banks? John is 5'5". 130 pounds, and I don't work out. My GF just said that I wouldn't have a chance against Tyra.
What's the scrappiness? Like, is his scrappiness...
It doesn't include his power rating.
Or
anything, his special abilities or anything like that. But I gotta say, even if you were about 6 inches taller and, like, 20 pounds beefier and you did work out... Have you seen how fierce Tyra Banks is?
And look in her eyes.
Plus, there's just her large, like, collection of knives that she carries on her person at all times.
Yeah, well, yeah, but we're talking about mono.
Oh, you're just like hand to hand, like.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking about a backstreet brawl, no chains, no pipes, the fists of a man named John and the fists of a supermodel named Tyra Banks.
Are there any holds barred?
Let me check. There is one hole barred.
Okay.
You can't say anything mean about her eyelashes because that's her weak point.
She's really sensitive about it. You also can't bring up the time she spent in Paris modeling with her mama, going from agency to agency, trying to find someone who will take her under her wing because she gets very emotional about that.
She went through some shit in Gay Paris, and I think that hardened her to like.
People tell her, je vous never m'appelle. I've heard her say that, just like that.
What's that? Can you translate? Can you use a quick Google translation?
I used Google translation. It said, you can't do this. We don't believe in you.
You have ugly eyebrows.
You have bad eyebrows? Was that the word?
Listen, I know.
That's how they say it in Paris. The eyebrows above your E's. Listen.
John.
Tyra Banks will come at you like a fucking Wolverine. Wolverine from X-Men, like a rabid Wolverine, and also kind of like Wolverine from X-Men.
Like both Wolverine from X-Men and like a rabid fan of Michigan.
But on the bright side, like the next day when you see your friends and they're like, oh my God, what happened to you? You'd be like, oh dude, Tyra Banks fucked me up.
She's got reach, first of all. She's got reach on you because she's a tall, beautiful lady. Mm-hmm. Her being beautiful has nothing to do with her reach. I just wanted to go ahead and put out the opinion that she is, in fact, an attractive woman. She's got nails, probably, right? That's safe to assume. Mm-hmm. They're probably sharp. And just the fierceness. We can't stress the fierceness enough.
Yeah.
Once you're down on the ground bleeding like a bloody heap, she's not going to stop. She will literally kill you.
Do you think that he could take Tyra Banks if she were in her fat suit?
Oh, no way. Are you kidding me? You could kick her down a flight of stairs. She wouldn't even notice.
Could you take her in her hobo suit?
Mm. Yeah, her hobo suit, yes. Tyra also, it should be noted, has a weave, which is basically bionics.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Unfair.
Man-made integration. Mm-hmm.
Good news, John. You won. She got disqualified.
She got disqualified for the use of bionics. I like my best friend's girlfriend. I'm not a total douche, so I'm not going to try to steal her or anything. But I wonder how I could stop being interested in her. I can't talk to her just like another friend, and I can't stop seeing her because of my friend, says Salazar.
Why are you cheating on your best friend?
Why are you such a... No. I see what he's saying. I get it.
And I don't hear what he's saying because it sounds to me like he's Inception cheating on his best friend. Like, if you're dreaming about her, like, that shit's in your mind, and that counts. You lost already.
Salazar, I have a suggestion for you, and that is to try to find faults with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like focus on the bad stuff
out loud.
Sometimes out loud, try to say like, hey, you got shoulders like a quarterback to her. And you can just sort of throw a pipe bomb in there. Not literally, of course, although coming problem you've got, solved.
But you've got eyebrows like Tyra Banks.
You've got T Banks eyebrows. And that's not a compliment. I don't know what your eyebrow culture is in your area, but it is not a positive.
I hear what you're saying. But unfortunately, she has no faults.
Oh.
She's so perfect, and Salazar is in love with her, and maybe she's in love with him, too. And maybe they have to break that sacred bond so that they can be happy for the rest of their lives.
Or maybe he could imagine her pooping.
See, I didn't want to say that because we have a pretty strict non-scatological rule for our show, but
break that rule to help someone,
but
you're
guess
crazy.
What, dog? What if you flip it and you imagine her pooping and then you love it?
Oh God! Now you have a crush on your boyfriend and you're dirty. And no one likes you anymore because you're dirty.
Salazar, you're on a tightrope, and I think you should just keep on walking until you make it to the other perch.
I think you're doing it. You're already ahead of the game because you've already like made the decision that you're not gonna try anything, which is great. So you know
that's good too. But if you've like. The harder you try to not be in, like, have you never seen a Renee Zellweger movie? Like, the harder you try to not be into her, the harder you're going to be into her.
The best thing to do, and it sucks because it sounds like, you know, a non-starter, but you need to just stop thinking about her. You need to just, it's not going to happen.
He's
it's
in
not
love
a thing.
With her.
He loves her, Travis.
Listen, Salazar, have you considered going to her front door and ringing it? And also the boyfriend lives there, too, and she comes down, and you have a boombox, and you're like, say it's Carolers, and she's like, it's Carolers, and you hold up signs that actually tell her how you feel, and then when you walk away, she runs up, and she kisses you, and she says, Merry Christmas, she runs back inside, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm not in love with her anymore. Hey, love, actually, that's a stupid fucking conceit, by the way. That's a dumb part of your fucking stupid movie. I love you so much, here's this big romantic gesture. Oh, I kiss you. We're done.
But I'm out.
Peace. Dip.
I'm out. 2011. I'm out. I'm done.
Salazar, do all those things, and maybe it'll work. Movies.
Yeah, if you learn how to control the human heart, you get right back to us, friendo. Mm-hmm. Hey, would it be out of line for me to ask a girl for her number after only the first time I meet her? What's happened to me a few times is that I'll ask the girl if she wants to grab lunch sometime and then give her my number without asking for her since I feel like I'm putting her in a less awkward position. But most of those times, they never get back to me, waiting by the phone.
If you feel like you're putting in an awkward position, why are you speaking to this person? Like, it should be a pleasant thing to, like, plan dates and exchange phone numbers.
Waiting by the phone, you got something to offer. This is a two-way street. You're not putting anybody in an awkward position. Offering a chance to go out on a date with you, you're fun.
It is the year of our Lord, 2011.
Yeah.
Everyone's already connected as fuck, right? I'm connected to every single person.
Yep.
In some way. Some ways more tangential than others. Just ask for a fucking number. It's not like you're asking her to, like, move in with you. You're not asking her to, like, get life insurance policies together. Is that a thing you can do?
Yes.
I don't know. You just ask for a number. What's the big deal? Maybe you'll call her.
The thing is like, giving her your number is really passive. Like, it doesn't cause anything to happen, you know? But getting her number is an active step that shows interest and that you then, you know, can control the situation instead of sitting at home waiting for them to call you.
If she doesn't want to give up your number, then if she didn't want to give her a number, she's not down.
Yeah, she ain't
She's
down.
Just trying to get it to end, get the time to end.
And so then you don't have to worry about it, like, if it's okay to ask her for it or not, because if she's not down, then you don't lose anything. Like, you're not going to fail because she said no. And you go, okay, well, I tried. And you walk away and you move on to the next attempt.
There is nothing. Everybody, right now, go into your mind, Inception style. Get rid of the fear of being turned down, because you know what? That can't hurt you. Nobody ever died from it.
I tell you,
and cooler.
I'm still afraid of it, but that's only because I'm batting 1,000. I'm pitching a perfect game.
You've never been rejected, so.
I've stolen every base I've tried to steal. I've baseball metaphored every baseball metaphor. And everyone. I'm afraid that one errant pitch, one errant baseball will fuck up my whole streak.
Yep. I understand that completely. I get it.
And also, I'm just like a really polite, like, nice guy. I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. It's real talk. And I don't want to put a lady in a position where she has to come up with an excuse not to give me her number. That's fucked up. When I say it out loud, it sounded more fucked up than it was in my head.
Well, then
I don't want her to have the struggle to be like, I'm just so busy with work right now that I can't give you my
phone. I think we should all just enter into a social contract with each other that it's okay for a guy to say, hey, can I get your number? And it's okay for the girl to say no.
Yeah, see, if the girl said no, if a girl said no, then I would be, like, happier than if she was like, well, I don't know, because my aunt, bloopity bloop bloop bloop, like,
bloop bloop bloop, lie, 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 lie.
Like, so if you lie to me, I just feel bad because I made you lie. I made you sin, and now you have to go to hell. Peace out.
Waiting by the phone, I think you should also probably get a little bit better at figuring out if people are in, if people are into it, mm-hmm. if people are feeling your flavor, because I'm not sure you are super great at that yet.
You'll get there.
You'll get there. Also, girls don't call guys. Sorry, that's society. You got to get on the hunt. Pursue with vigor and passion, also, and don't wait for her to finish her conversation with her friends.
Also, asking someone if they want to grab lunch is a passive thing that friends do. Ask her to dinner. Ask her to a movie. Ask her on a real date.
Ask her
to have sex with you today.
Hey, I've got a Yahoo answer. Do you want to hear it?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
It was sent in. This is incredible. It was this exact question was sent in by both Mike Bachman and Jacob Locker.
You two get two married.
Heavy ass hitters in the Yahoo Answers submission game that we all met. We met both of them at PAX East this past weekend. And
I suspect them of juicing.
They're probably juicing. They're probably on a little bit of some anabolic steroids just to get their humor muscles toned up. Yeah. They are as handsome as their submissions. I will say that. This question was written by Panda Coley, who asks, is this weird for brothers? It's right in our wheelhouse, right?
No, sure, I guess. I'm going to say that now.
My twin brother and I take baths together because my mom wants to save money. Smart, right? We are 17, and it seems a little weird now compared to when we were young. Do you think this is weird or not?
What are those ages again?
They're twins, so we're assuming that they're the same age. Although it'd be even weirder if they weren't. Like, I'm 20 and he's 8. They're 17.
17.
Why is it taking
twin.
You this long to wonder if that's weird?
Hey, mommy.
The internet.
Hey, mommy. We both can't fit in the bathtub anymore because we have grown human adult bodies, mommy.
Hey, mommy. We're full grown humans.
There's no way that you can stack us in here like Tetris blocks that we're not going to touch.
Our parts will touch. There's no bathtub big enough to have a naked shower with your 17-year-old brother. That's fat. That's fat.
It's not a shower. It's a bath. When you take a bath, you're making soup. out of your grossness. You're making
If I ever open like a bathroom fixture store and I sell like
or tubs a soup and, store
or a soup store, I'm going or to advertise house. My large tubs as big enough for two full grown 17-year-old males.
The problem is when you're in a bath, which is already pretty gross, you're just making broth. You're making Todd broth or Zach broth.
You're making your own gravy.
When you get Tony up in there, that's officially a stew, and that's unacceptable.
Okay, wait. I have this all figured out. The mother is not a weirdo. The mother started selling Todd and Tony stew.
Yeah.
when they were little kids, and now she doesn't know how to cut off that revenue stream.
This is Oaky. Somebody's been playing soccer.
This is getting better with age. I love this stew. You have to give me your secret recipe, Tammy. I can't.
It's a dash of Todd, a dash of Zach, and just like a whole bunch of weirdness that they are never going to recover from.
Just can't recover from this
stew. You can really taste the scarring.
The two things that aren't going to recover from this stew are your hunger and Todd and Tony. Those are the two parts that will never make a comeback.
What's the age? What's the cutoff? Can we come up with this right now, and then we can send it to Panda Coley and just be like, you need to turn your mom into the fucking police.
Five.
Yeah, five.
You think once you come off the teat, I would say once you're off the teat, not that I was on the teat at five, come on. I'm saying off the teat, off the brother's lap in the bathtub, you fucking weirdo. Get off of there.
I would say that as soon as you're old enough to no longer need a spotter, if you're afraid of drowning in the bathtub, make sure there's someone else in there.
Okay, but wait a minute. Wait just a second, because that life is a recursive. It's like a snail shell. And once you get to be 80, you need a spotter again. Can we start throwing 80-year-olds in the same bath?
Yeah.
Two 80-year-olds.
And they shrink, too. They get better.
They do. Old people are basically shrinky dinks that you put in the bathtub. And then you got a full.
And you look at their shrinky dings. Yeah.
I can debate the number as far as age a little bit. I can give you some wiggle room, no pun intended. But if I have to put a firm wall on pubes. In fact, the T-shirt says, "If you see a hair, you can't be there." That's the rule for me on bathtubs. You can't at that point. No dice.
What about? What about? Can we put an old dude and a baby in the same bathtub, like an 85-year-old.
Well, but then I feel like that's unfair to the baby, because if the old man goes down, what's the baby supposed to do? Baby can't save that old man. He doesn't have the lung strength.
Old man. What if we get a baby, an old man, and a 17-year-old all up in the same bath?
And then you gotta get them all to cross the river from one bath to the next.
And the baby, the old man will eat the baby.
Yeah, no question about that. He's confused.
The 17-year-old will eat the grain. You have two rafts. Go.
Go. Solve it. Hey, I want to hear Griffin's last question. But first, I want to say thank you to everybody we met at PAX East this weekend. You were total sweethearts. We saw so many My Brother and Me shirts. We saw our friend Brental Floss was there. He put on a great show. And you guys were all so nice and genuine. It made me really look forward to April 17th.
What up? Because it's my birthday, 24.
We'll be in Chicago. And we'll be doing My Brother and Me live, opening up for Jordan Jesse Go. What's up? Are you there? Yeah, I should say so. Tickets are going to be way affordable. They're going to go on sale soon, I would imagine.
We'll let you know.
Follow us on Twitter and keep checking Maximum Fun. But that
really is my birthday, by the way. And we are going to go out afterwards and get silly.
We're going to get slizzard.
We are going to get our wasty faces on.
We are going to get our dicks wet. I don't know. Because we're going on a water slide.
We're going to make it so wet. We're going to go to the Old Town Ale House. And we're going to go on a water slide, because those are all over the place here in Chicago.
Yeah, just streets are littered with them.
I rode a water slide all the way from O'Hare to my apartment.
Keep it. Keep your focus on My Brother and Me. MBMBAM.com, at MBMBAM on Twitter. And we will let you know all about tickets and everything, but it's going to be off the chain, off the hook, off the chuck. So right. If you want to get in touch with us, go to MBMBAM.com right there and text, you'll see our email address. We have a voicemail that you can call. What's that number, Griff?
It's 203-MABIM-BAM-1.
Yep. And you can call us for questions and stuff. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for your support with the Maximum Fun Drive.
Holy shit.
We had a couple people who, you know, groused a little bit. Most of you were just so generous and gracious about the whole thing. We seriously, it's the best.
If you donated and you haven't listened to all the other shows, now is the best time to do so because you're supporting them. They're your shows. They're your shows. Go listen to them. Go give them a listen. Subscribe and shit. I don't know how podcasts work. I just make them.
That's all there is to it. Hey, Griffin.
Hey.
I'm ready. One more time, just to remind you, go check out kingdomofloathing.com if you haven't. Go do it right now.
It's free. Right second. It's free as
fucking
fuck.
So fucking free. Do it.
Oh, man. How about this? So this one's sent in by Jackie or Jacquie Ronan. There's a Q and a U in there. I'm just spitballing. This is by Yahoo Answers user Zoraz, who says, Quidditch for dogs? Is this true?
It's Justin McElroy.
Oh, this is Travis McElroy.
This is Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, 3 stacks. These girls are smart. Play your card.